God talkers. God talkers. Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 20 and 21. Someone told Jesus, New Living Translation, your mother and your brothers are outside, and they want to see you. Jesus replied, my mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word, and obey it. Here's the thing. This scripture, it's kind of amazing to me. You know, to start with, there's such a crowd around Jesus because he's been teaching that his mother and his brothers can't get to him. I mean, it's that crowded and that are that tight packed into Jesus, and they can't get to him. And yet, somehow, the word got down through the crowd to Jesus that his mother and his brothers were out at the edge wanting to see him. And Jesus has been doing this teaching, and he says something that's really amazing. He says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and obey it. We don't know why they came, his mother and brothers, do we? Scripture doesn't make it clear. He grew up with them, you know. They knew him real well. And at this point, it's really believed that Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They just thought he was their brother. And this scripture really doesn't seem to fit the narrative of what Jesus was talking about. But Jesus saw this as a teachable moment. I'm sure it absolutely shocked those who were listening at the time. If you think about it, my mother and my brothers are those who listen to the word and obey it. Family was everything to the Israelites. Let's face it, your heritage was who you were. It meant everything. It's not like today, you know, our immediate family is close, but it's, you know, in our society, we just don't identify with this. So it just absolutely shocked all those who were there. But he wanted to make the point. He was teaching them that if you listen and obey, you're part of my family. He was just sharing parables. Let's pray. Father, we've gathered here today, and we're here to hear from you. That's why we're here. We want to hear what you have to say, Father. And I pray, Father, that the anointing would be upon every listener, everyone here, to hear what you're saying. And I ask, Father, for anointing on me that I would be a conduit, just an open vessel through which you may speak to all those here, that they may hear what Holy Spirit is saying today. I thank you for it. I give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look. Let's just back up a little bit and see what Jesus was teaching about that the crowd was so pressed in. Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 16 through 18. This is what he was saying just before he went into this scripture about mothers and brothers on the outside. Just really doesn't even fit, but there it is. No one lights a lamp, verse 16, New Living Translation. No one lights a lamp and then covers it. We've all read this scripture many times. With a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But those who are not listening, even that which they think they understand will be taken from them. Talk to a big crowd. And this little story is just kind of amazing. He starts out with this little parable, this little teaching here, about a light, a little light. Now, lamps to us are really different than what lamps were to them. You know, when the Bible talks about lamps, and I don't know what you see in your mind's eye, but I'm always seeing like Aladdin's lamp with a light out the end or something like that. You know, today we flip a switch and we have these bright lights today, LEDs, you know, whatever type of light we have. But back then, they had these little bitty oil lamps. Most of them were really small. They were just contained a little oil with a little wick kind of sticking out in the end. They would light it. And then it would have a flame not much bigger than a match. And so Jesus talked about something so common that the people who heard this just, you know, it's something you did that day without even thinking about it. You know, we do things today we don't even think about. We just do them because it's what we do. And he said, you don't take that little light and put it somewhere where it can't shine bright. You put it up somewhere, you know, in the house, in their little one-room or two-room rock huts or whatever they had, so that it can put enough light. And they didn't really put out a lot of light, did they? But yet it was all the light they had. And so he goes from talking about something so common and so known that everybody's sitting there, yeah, I know that, yeah, this is what we do, yeah, absolutely. And then he says, have you put the light up, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. You put those two verses together, and they don't seem to fit. But they do, because Jesus is trying to make the point about how his words are a light unto us. We readily accept that today. So pay attention how you hear. Another strange verse right up against it. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given them, but those who are not listening, even that which they think they understand, will be taken from them. Did you ever, your mom ever do this? When I was young, I'd be outside playing, and she'd come to the door and she'd say, come on in, it's time to eat. And then about 5 minutes later, she'd have to come to the door and say, come on in, it's time to eat. And then about 5 minutes later, it was, Terry Wayne Baker, get in here right now. Now, I was listening the first two times. I was listening, but I knew how much grace my mom had. And it was over. You know, it was time to come in. And so I knew it was time to get inside. Or how about this when you were a kid? You're on the playground, and somebody, you know, kids get into arguments, and somebody says to you, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. True? Not true. A lie out of the pit. You see, words are flaming arrows shot to the heart, aren't they? How many of you can remember a name you've been called? You don't have to raise your hands. But I think we all can. They usually picked on some body part, didn't they? Or maybe your name. Baker, bake me a cake. You know, it really never did bother me. I mean, I thought, what's the big deal, you know? But it was one kid trying to be mean to another. Yet, do we remember it? We were listening. We heard. And you can all remember those. And odds are, it still stings a little on the inside when you remember some of those words that were cast your way by another kid. Point is, we do hear, don't we? There's lots of ways that we listen, even if we don't want to. So pay attention how you hear. You know, we can only control a certain amount of what we hear, can't we? I mean, we just only have so much control. It just comes. It just comes. We have no more total control over that than we do of the dreams that we dream. It just comes. I will, lots of times today, turn a device off. Isn't that a good word? That's the PC word today, a device off. I turn the TV off, or I'll turn the computer off, or I'll turn the radio off. If something's coming on I don't like, and I'm not just talking about immoral things, and I'm not just talking about foul language. If there's something coming on and they're talking about something that I feel is disturbing me, my spirit, I'll turn it off. I'll do that today. I'm better at that. Let's look at the first time of listening in Scripture. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis, the third chapter, verses 1 through 3. And again, I'm going to be using New Living Translation here. The serpent was the shrewdest of all wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat of the trees," verse 2, "in the garden," the woman replied. Verse 3, "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden which we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." Part of listening is obeying. Part of listening is obeying. How long had Eve been obedient to that word? We don't know. They'd been in the garden probably a long, long time. And she'd been obedient. She not only heard what God said, she could quote it. She could quote it. Amazing. Here's the point. Sidebar. God made Adam first, right? Yeah. Well, God probably would come down the cool evening conversation. He probably wanted more than yes, yeah, and nah, so he created Eve. I'm probably in trouble again. But anyway, in verse 10, New King James Version says, "So he," Adam, "said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." God would come down in those cool breezes in the evening just to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. It's why we're here. It's why we're created. God created us for fellowship, not just one another, but with Him. He wants all of us to be in conversation with Him. He made us this way from the beginning. It's how we were created, why we were created. And I'm telling you right now, if we can grasp this, it's the last thing the devil wants us to know, that we can talk to God and we can hear from God. Be careful how you hear, is what Jesus said. Listen, we are made so well. Our spirit man is made so well that we have to be careful how we listen. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 1, and I'm going to be reading New Living Translation. "Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly, in the last time some of us will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons." Do you believe in demons? I'm not looking for hands. Do you believe in demons? Do you believe demons can speak to us? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Let's go one step further. Do you believe you hear from demons? Okay. One more step. Do you believe demons have actually spoken to you personally. If you believe this, why in the world would you ever believe that God's not speaking to you personally? We are designed, we are spiritual beings, and we are designed to talk and hear in the Spirit. Do you hear that? We're spiritual beings, body, soul, and spirit. We are designed, we are spiritual beings, and designed to talk in the Spirit and hear in our spirit. What did Jesus say to Peter when Peter was saying, you shouldn't be crucified? Do you remember what he said? Get thee behind me, Satan, right? Let's listen to that conversation. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 21, 22, and 23. Peter's just gone through the time and saying, you are the Son of God, and Jesus compliments him, right? So Peter's feeling pretty good. But then we come to this time, Matthew 16, 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. You can almost feel the strength in Peter's words, can't you? Pete took Jesus aside. And he turned to Peter, 23, and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus just shared with Peter and the disciples his battle plan. He just shared with him the very plan that he and God had to defeat the enemy, to bring us back into complete fellowship with God. He just shared it with them all. He said, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer a lot of things from these, you know, so-called religious leaders. They're even going to crucify me. They're going to kill me. And then Peter, thinking he's doing what's right, says, this can't happen to you, Lord. It can't. And he says, get behind me, Satan. Who is Peter listening to? Do you think Peter thought that up on his own? Someone might tell you or say, oh, Jesus was just using that as a figure of speech. That's just what the devil would want us to think, isn't it? Just what the devil. Pay attention to how you hear. Remember how we started with this? Jesus told him, your mother and your brothers are outside and they want to see you. Jesus replied, my mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and obey it. You see, even when you read scripture, just sitting down with your Bible, your spirit man is listening. And here's the thing. We got to tune up our spirit man. You know, we have a wonderful bunch of musicians. But if they didn't tune up those things that they play with, it would be discordant. And we wouldn't hear the tunes like we should hear them. And it's the same way with us and our spirit man. You have to tune up our spirit man. You see, we're three people, aren't we? In one. Body, soul, mind, and our spirit. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 14 and 15, has to be one of my most favorite all-time scripture because I believe it just absolutely guides us so well. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. You see, our natural man has been in charge way too long. Remember my example of mom coming to the door and calling me to dinner? My natural man was disciplined enough to know that if I didn't respond on that third time, not good things were going to follow. Just the way it is. True. My natural man had been disciplined to know that. And you see, it's so easy to follow our natural man. We've done it since we were this tall. You know, we come home from work. What's the natural man say? Sit down. Veg a little, will you? You know, maybe turn on something, you know? Oh, for goodness sake, don't pick up your Bible. As we grew up from childhood to adults, we really learned how to please our body, didn't we? How to eat, how to sleep, how to play. And our minds became lazy, you see. Who agrees that it's so easy for children to learn? Everybody. Just so easy. My granddaughter, 5 years old, she's going to Chinese immersion school. She learns in kindergarten, half the day is in Mandarin and half the day is English. You should hear her. She's been there, what, 3-4 weeks? Oh, my gosh. What that girl can say in Chinese, and she recognized their letters and she knows the numbers and, you know, just so easy. What happened? Our natural man likes to take it easy. We like to please ourselves. Proverbs 12:1 says, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. Don't you hate that scripture? I mean, at this point, don't you hate that scripture? I thought I had it bad growing up. I got just about enough time here just to share this part. I thought I had it bad. My dad was a military guy. And he knew how to discipline. And so when I was young, we would get disciplined. But here's what happened to me. Here's what happened to us. We talked about this week with my family. We got together, and it was my older brother's birthday, and we went to Bandanas to pig out. You know how that is. Anyway, and we were munching down on that good stuff. But we started talking about when I was 13 years old, Dad died of a heart attack. You see, Dad was 41 years old, and I think there's four brothers and one sister, and every one of them had congestive heart trouble. And in 1964, they had not invented bypass surgery yet. So at 41 years of age, my dad died. I was 13 years old, and we were living in DeKalb, Illinois. And we'd been there. He was an Army recruiter. He was getting ready to retire. And we were going to go to Corpus Christi, Texas. He was going to open a restaurant down there. Life changes. And he had a heart attack. Probably was his third or fourth heart attack at 41 years of age. And he passed. And traumatic. And we talked about this while we were at Bandanas, how there was so much stress from that event in our lives. A pivotal event in our lives. And it happens. Every one of us, every one of you have had pivotal events in your life. And here's the thing that came from that pivotal event for me. I became a victim in my mind. What my mom did, we were living in DeKalb, Illinois, and she decided that she was going to move back here with her relatives. My dad was from Texas and Oklahoma, and she was from right here, Osage City, where she grew up as a little girl. And her family said, hey, come back here. We can help take care of you and those five kids. There's five of us. I had an older brother, an older sister. My brother was almost 4 years older than me, and my sister five. And my younger sisters were like 3 and 4. And I was in the middle, 13. So she packs us all up. We've been there for years, all the friends, everyone we knew up there in DeKalb. And she moves us down here to Jefferson City, Missouri. Now, that in itself wasn't such a bad thing. But we got down here and got around her relatives. Mom's family were not big on education. My mom had a seventh grade education. She knew what she knew. Dad was big on education. He wanted us all to go to college. But here was the thing. We came back to Jefferson City, and we started getting together with her family down there in Osage City. And, oh, you poor kids. You've got it so rough. You know, life has just dealt you such a bad blow. I didn't want to be here. I did not want to be here. I went to eighth grade at Simonson. I did not want to be there. And those teachers knew my story, and they treated me the same way. So I bought into this victim mentality. Gee, I've got it so bad. I was so spoiled. Rotten. I never, ever, ever learned how to study. Never. I finished college eventually. I won't tell you how many years it took me. Not important. But it's hindered me my entire life. I hated discipline. I didn't want it. Don't buy the spirit of you being a victim. It might ruin your life.
That's right.
Every one of us have pivotal events in our life. We have things happen to us that take us to our knees. The thing is, don't let the devil steal your gift. Proverbs. I want to look this up before I quit. 20:12 says, ears to hear and eyes to see, both are gifts from the Lord. Every one of us gifted. Ears to hear, eyes to see. You see, life is one big exercise in listening and obeying. Have you ever said, you know, you've got to say, I wish, Lord, you would just tell me what to do here. Gee, you know, if you just tell me, I'd do it. I wish I could be like, you know, Terry Chapman, or maybe Chris Behrens, or maybe Michelle Fay, you know, be like, insert your favorite God talker. I wish I could be like them. I'm telling you, you are. You were created body, soul, and spirit. You're created in your spirit man to talk with God and to hear from God. Seeing eyes and hearing ears. And the devil wants nothing more than to steal that from us and take us to a point where we can't get to a point in our life where we hear from God for ourselves. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to other people and have them pray with you. Heavens, I would never say that. But I am saying, I am telling you, God wants to talk one-on-one. It's why we're created. He loves us so much. It's why you're here on earth. It's why you're here. Fellowship with God. It's what He created us all for, right? Yeah. Yeah, you know, we go walking along and think, well, you know, I'm this or I'm that. Yeah, you are. Maybe you're a mom, or you have a great job, or you're raising your kids, or you're, you know, doing this or that with life. But we have one, be careful how you hear. Listen and obey is what Jesus said. We got to tune up our spiritual ears to where we hear from God. And then we know. Then we know what to do. It was so easy when you were a kid, wasn't it? All you had to do is go to mom or dad, say, what do I need to do? You know, or usually they were the one telling us and we didn't do it. But it's true. Listen and obey. Let's pray. I had one more portion of scripture I was going to share, but it's lengthy. I was going to talk about the parable of the talents, but maybe another time. God, you're so good to us. And just, I can't express in my heart how grateful I am that we can speak to you, spirit man to spirit man. And for all of us, I ask, Father, that you send your discipline. Send it, Father. Help us to grasp and embrace the discipline that comes our way, Father, that we can hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church today. I believe this with my whole heart, Father, that you are attempting everything you know to get our attention. Help us to see. Help us to hear. Help us, Lord. We promise to be obedient. Promise, Father. We promise to be obedient. We want to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, Lord Jesus. And everybody said, amen.